can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Longer in case it actually pacifies you a bit and you've settled down, you became up and about, you became angry and emotional speaking to Jeff, you shouted at him, and even Sue here, who's, this is the beauty of, see, Sue's gone out to heat up the coffee, Don, this is how, what's this, what women should do, get out into the kitchen.
I took exception last week when I asked you whether you... your mother or father, and you said your mother was just a housewife.
I did, Don. If you listen, mind you, we had great response to that question and answer segment. I made a point of saying, I said, let me say this, in the years and the era, my mother was just a housewife. But, Don...
I took exception to that.
Oh, yeah, I said it purposely, and I said it so that no one would take exception to it.
Well, I did.
Because, well, she wasn't a lawyer or a nuclear physicist.
Doesn't matter.
What?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I told you what she was. She
That's
managed
the trouble with a lot of families she nowadays.
She managed the house. So we had very good... Thank you, Sue. That was only a joke about you going out and heating the coffee up. You know that. I just said that for to get a rise out of Don. Now, Don...
Can I give a shout-out?
Just a minute, Don. How come when I say... You can say something. Just let me ask you this. You've come in here with a wrist guard on, your hand. Why have you got a wrist guard on?
You're a bastard.
Why have
you? You have listened in and tapped into an intimate conversation to two people.
There were two. Use the other hand.
Hang on, just a minute, Don. I notice you've got a wrist guard on. Sue said she wasn't sure why you've got a wrist guard.
You should use the other hand, Don.
You haven't been taking the top off it, Don, have you? And you've got RSI in your wrist. Why have you got a wrist guard on? Incidentally, you said I didn't answer any of your questions last week.
What about it?
You said, oh, I've been married and how was I met? I met my first wife and I...
That was off air.
No, you asked me on air. You said...
Yeah, but then I asked you more off air because you didn't answer them correctly. But anyway, can I give a shout-out? Hang on a minute.
Mr. Kennett, you said you don't answer that. Why have you got a wrist guard on? You've got your hand...
You know why you tuned into my conversation?
What? It wasn't from, stroking yourself, was it?
You heard the conversation.
Well, why? Tell people why you've got a wrist guard on.
Who'd your belt?
Was it on the field? Was it a football-related injury or was it domestic violence?
It was football-related.
Right. And who did you belt?
Ted Potter.
Who?
Ted Potter.
The Collingwood fullback.
Centre-half back.
Oh, well, I think he... Was he? Where were you? Why were you on him?
I was in the pocket.
You were in the pocket and he'd done something and you wandered up and you thought...
Oh, well, he was going one way, I was going the other.
He was going playing well and you thought, I'll put an end to this.
Well, no, we were just like ships in the night and I tried to stop the other ship instead of...
And what'd you do, backhand him?
No, I threw the elbow out, you know, the...
You threw the elbow out, that's not your elbow, the wrist, the hand. That's your fist.
Yeah, the fist, I threw that out.
So you smashed him in the face because he was playing well, did you?
Well, he went past.
He went past. This is a trait, Don, that has bedeviled you.
As if you didn't. At least he was facing me, not this like you.
He was facing you.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So he just let you hit.
People wouldn't have known that you're going to get hit by you because you were behind whacking.
So Teddy Potter, that man, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. He just let you hit. He saw you coming and he just let you hit him, did he?
No, of course he didn't.
He didn't see it coming, did he?
He didn't expect it, I suppose.
No, of course, because he thought, what sort of thug would go and just deliberately belt someone just because
I was facing him. He saw, had his chance. No, not like you.
Oh,
you didn't give anyone any chances.
He,
Did you know he got reported for hitting me, sir?
No.
Yes.
Serious?
His lordship. You know what he did, didn't you? From behind. He whacked me from behind.
Yeah. Dirty player.
Yes, no, right. Not at all. I didn't see it, sir.
Don doesn't give it in context. Would you like me to explain how I got
reported? Well, you got reported.
I got reported, yes. Mm-hmm. Did I get any weeks?
Oh, no. As soon as you had John Schultz nodding, I thought...
Don
yes,
and I were playing
He used to snipe and hit everyone from behind.
Don and I were playing in the ruck and at a boundary throw, and he always... We jostled for front position, which is a legitimate tactic. We didn't link arms like they do now.
Exactly.
We played the game how probably it was designed to be played.
Exactly.
Anyhow, Don got in front of me several times at a boundary throw-in. I thought, oh, well, that's all right. In the end, we tried to get in front so much that we're actually almost standing on the back of the boundary umpire's shoes. So anyhow, I said, I'll let him go once.
Yes.
As he threw the ball in, I deliberately stayed behind. And as the ball, I just calculated it beautifully. As the ball dropped down to about where Don's head was from its arc from the boundary throw-in, I went and I, with an open hand, slapped him on the
side. No, it was a fist.
It was not a fist, Don. Ooh. If it had been a fist, I would have knocked you out.
Oh.
Well, I would have, if it had a fist.
Not anyway, it was a good tactic because I learned from that and employed it in later years.
So as the ball dropped down to about head height, I smashed him on the side of the head and got reported. And we get to the tribunal, and you should have seen the garb that we wore at the tribunal. Don had a little knit on and a scarf and a cravat and a little handbag.
You had the Vacco jumper.
And a little tam o' shanter. And I had a leather coat and bell-bottom pants and fucking sandals. We look like a couple
actually,
of...
Actually, they got more of a write-up than the report.
It got more... It said, have a look at these two fancy dads going along to the one charged with swiping or... Anyhow, so they made us look...
Slapping.
Slapping made us look as though we were a couple of nice poofters. Anyhow, so it gets to the thing and I said, John Schultz was my advocate and I said, no.
No, he was...
Was he?
He was sitting there. John Schultz was a ruckman who played for Footscray.
Brownlow medalist.
And Johnny goes on with his bullshit. And
Is he a Brownlow medalist?
Yes, he was. Yep. And I saw John Schultz start to nod his head and I thought, fuck, he's off this charge. And lo and behold, he got off. He should have gone so many times, this man. He was a sniper.
I said, as the ball dropped down, as I was rushing in, I went to hit the ball and unfortunately miscalculated and collected Mr. Scott on the side of the jaw and ear. And Don's sitting there and he said, bullshit. And I said, no, Don, that's exactly what happened. And they said, well, we've assessed the evidence and we find in favour of Mr. Newman. Could you not be as careless next time, please? Don said, oh, be fucked. I said, hey, and he's still huffing and puffing. We went out and we had dinner together and we shook hands and he drove home. And
now, isn't it interesting? I watched the Jordan Dugowie thing and we're talking about the physical aspect of football. Do you know we grew up learning how to protect ourselves or know where danger is? So many players now, and I watched the Jordan Dugowie incident, that fellow from the West Coast just left himself so wide open that these fellows are not aware. They've been brought up differently, that we used to play kick to kick in the yard, which was on. You know, you'd have a pack of players and you'd learn how to protect yourselves in going for a mark. These and you were made aware because you didn't want to get hurt. These boys have got no awareness whatsoever. And so I don't blame Dugowie. I blame the guy that is the victim. And there's a lot of victims because they're not aware of what's around them, John.
Well, this is like why I belted you, Don. I blame you. You should have been aware that I was behind you and I might have taken a swipe at you. You should have just not tried to get in front so persistently that you thought, no, this is fraught with danger. This, at some stage, this man's going to belt me. And, of course, I did. I blame you. And that's why I got that's why I got off. Now, Sue, tell me what you think of this. In New Zealand, I know I told you about this before, but I didn't tell you about this before. They're asking people, you know this thing about...
This is a John Newman here. I've worked, Sue, so fucking
hard. Go ahead.
I'll finish up with a mic.
Go ahead.
All these topics,
Oh, well, I won't tell you about New Zealand. They're asking people to weigh themselves now before they get on planes in New Zealand.
Really?
I don't think they're taking porkers. I think...
What are porkers? What are porkers? How do you classify a porker?
Overweight men and women.
Yeah, but what do you classify as being overweight?
I think it would be pretty obvious to see. If you can't fit your ass into one of the chairs that the plane has in it, they might say you have to pay double, or you might have to be loaded in with the luggage.
The porkers, in other words, are using two seats, are they?
Well, and they're cramping the people who are just normally built, and they squash them out of existence, Don.
Really?
Why else would you have to weigh yourself in New Zealand?
I look around when I have coffee. We're the worst. Oh, so many people are overweight. Why do women get into this?
We've done that here in Australia.
Weigh yourself?
Yes. I remember in Queensland they did it. I think when the fuel was obviously...
really?
Yeah.
The passengers had to weigh themselves.
And they were weighing people's luggage as well.
Yeah, to see how much fuel they needed to load into the plane to get it off the ground.
And they were weighing people. I know, I stepped on.
You wouldn't have even registered.
Well, see, that's another point, because if you're only allowed 30 kilos when you're travelling, and I'm only allowed 30 kilos, but I'm only 45 kilos and you're 70 kilos, how can you've got more weight than
Very
me.
Very good point.
Are you 45?
Kilos, not age.
No, I wish kilos. I was. Jeez, you're smaller than a jockey.
Well, have you ever seen Sue standing up next to you?
About half her size.
She is the size of a jockey. Well, that's what
she's smaller than a jockey.
Well, all right. She's
they ride at about 50.
Well, there you are, Don. I don't know why that's...
that's small. Hey, listen, shout out. Do you know...
Is this one of your topics?
No.
Well, you've got hundreds, you said.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, do you realise, and one of our... friends has not taken advantage, but she's a recipient. Pharmacies. Do you know the state government or the federal government's bought in something to do with scripts that you can get them every... Sue, you should know this. Instead of 30 days, it's now extended to 30 days. Is that right?
I think so.
A script. Anyway.
Lasts for 2 months.
Apparently, the chemists get a percentage or a fee for the script per and whatever else. Now, because of this 60-day script that's come in, a lot of chemist shops...
Losing half
and they've
revenue.
Got staff to employ, and so they're starting to diversify. Hence, and this is an interesting thing...
Diversify?
Well, sell other products. They've got to sell other products.
Kate Save.
Well, I was just going to say, Kate Save is in now... and
Be Fit Food.
Yes, in Chemist Warehouse. This is the first step. So they're on the ball, Chemist Warehouse. They've got to diversify. They've got staff to feed and whatever else, and they've got to stay profitable. And so those people in Mornington, there's one in Mornington Tybe Road, a Chemist Warehouse. There's one in
She got South. Any deals on?
I don't care about the deals, but I reckon this is interesting what chemist shops are doing, and Kate Saves has taken advantage, or they've approached her. Dandenong and Southport in Queensland. So there's four shops.
What do you mean you don't care about the deals? We're trying to tell people who
listen
to this.
Yes, but the topic is how chemist shops are trying to, you know, because the government brings in a feel-good thing about extending prescriptions so you don't have to go as often. It has taken bread and butter away from the actual pharmacy. So they're either put off staff, they've got to remain profitable, and so they've got to diversify. But Kate's in at... Mornington, Brunswick, Dandenong, Chemist Warehouse and Southport in Queensland. This wouldn't go up to Queensland.
Can I ask you a question, Don?
What?
Do you think Hawthorn have just given up the football side after the game against... Who'd they play last week?
Port Adelaide.
They were 100 points down to half-time, weren't they?
You'll find that...
You think they've given up?
The interesting thing with football I've studied over the years... You say, you know, a bottom team will have a good reserve grade team. That is an indication when a bottom team has got a good reserve grade team, the team's no good. That it is no good.
Give me that again.
A couple of things that I've noticed over the years that a bottoms team, a senior bottom team, such as Hawthorn, they're third last on the ladder, yet their reserve grade team is up the top. So you say, oh, they've got some terrific juniors. No, that to me is an indication that the club is very, very low. Now, also, the other thing I've noticed... Because it's just an interesting fact that I've noticed over 30 or 40 years of my football, I've just noticed that.
A strong reserve side, you haven't got...
And if your senior team is at the bottom, that club is in a bit of trouble.
They've given
football
up.
Football-wise.
Have they given
now,
up?
Now, the other thing is, you will find with a young team that Hawthorn got, is that they will go up and down. And they will knock off a top team, they'll perform well, and then they'll put in an abysmal performance. And one of those was the other day. It's a roller coaster ride.
They'd be shattered.
When you've got a young side, because 1 week they're up, and until they've played at least 100 games of football, and then they become machines. But and they become reliable and dependable as athletes.
But this saga hanging over them, Sue, would surely affect their mental acuity as to... They'd think, what's the point of all this?
Oh, come on, please. You've played. You're an idiot.
What?
Fancy even bringing that into it.
Oh, okay.
Is it, the footballers are completely divorced from it.
We should say, I know it's not our sport of choice, but Ange...
Postecoglou.
Ange Postecoglou.
It is my... Did you watch the grand final on the weekend talking about soccer?
The FA Cup?
No. The Australian West Coast Central Coast Mariners played Melbourne City.
What?
Didn't you watch that Saturday night?
No.
Played up in Sydney. Here is the smallest club, Central Coast Mariners, playing a big club that's backed by Manchester City, I think it is. And they won. The Mariners won 6-1, I think it was.
Yeah. So what did that have to do with what I was just saying?
You're talking about Postecoglou.
Do you think what an unbelievable achievement for Ange Postecoglou, or whatever his name is? What's his name? Postecoglou?
Yeah.
Hasn't he just been made the manager of Liverpool?
He has, and he's worked his way up from being...
No, Tottenham.
The coach of South Melbourne Hellas. He actually played for South Melbourne Hellas.
And didn't he take the Scottish side into winning the...
FA Cup, or their cup.
Their cup.
But he's also done it with Brisbane Roar, Melbourne City. He's worked his way up. He's been to Japan. He's coached the Socceroos. And now he's at Tottenham.
But didn't he get the flick from the Socceroos? Or did he move on?
It's a very tumultuous
situation. Tottenham, yep. The Spurs, Don.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur.
What an incredible achievement of... Is he an Australian?
It is massive. That is... massive for an Australian to get that job.
Thank you, Sue. This has not resonated with Don. Is he an Australian? Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, of course he is.
Well, okay, good. Well, I'm saying, what a fantastic achievement for an Australian, where soccer is our second tier sport. I don't say that disparagingly, but if you put it next to the AFL, it probably is. What an extraordinary achievement that is. To be the manager of Spurs, Don, isn't that extraordinary?
It's a fantastic night.
Do you think Ange listens to this?
No.
Well, and on the off chance he does, we'd like to congratulate him, wouldn't we?
And what a terrific name.
Yes,
a romantic name, Tottenham Hotspur. Now, where would they get that name?
Postecoglou is a romantic
so
name.
So was I. A romantic name, Ange
Postecoglou. Tottenham Hotspur.
Tottenham.
Now, why would they... Tottenham, there is a place in London called Tottenham, but why
Hotspur? There's a limerick about Tottenham. There was a young man from Tottenham who used to make pies and put snot in them. He used the turds of various birds and pulled off tomcats till they shot in them. I'll cut that out. Can we edit this? I'm going to cut that out. I'm sorry. That is so off.
What goes on in your brain?
I know, that was I had sparked the word Tottenham. That is, apologise to anyone listening. That's really off, and I don't know. I'm feeling embarrassed. Don, would you like me to repeat it?
No.
In case people missed it. No.
Did you watch any TV on the weekend?
I did.
Did you watch the Ben Roberts Smith thing?
If Dr. Ben rings in. I'm going to ask him about that.
Because...
He got off, didn't he? And the judge...
There's a defamation case.
Yeah, he sued. And the judge said there was reasonable evidence that he shot...
There's a few things that come out of this. One is it's a war. And they're saying there's got to be standards in war. Oh, please, please, please. There's been some horrific things done in war. And is it an interesting that he works for Channel 7 and it was Channel 9 and the ABC that were active or said things? There's more in it than meets the eye.
If the doc rings in, I wanted to get his perspective on that, and also the perspective on what about the lass, the woman, Mrs. Catherine Folbig, who was accused of killing her four kids, and they found out that they had a mutant gene.
Yeah, but hang on, mate. In all fairness...
Thank you, mate.
Hang on.
Yes, mate.
If you did your research, they've now got scientific proof which has been developed in the time. It wasn't available. It wasn't available when she was tried.
Okay.
Also, you've got it. There were diary entries. Now you've got to, they've got to weigh up the scene.
Yes.
And she put things in her diary which have been misconstrued.
Right.
And you didn't have the scientific evidence or scientific processes that are available now. So what else could they have done?
No, that's right. They didn't take her word. And that's obvious. They didn't take her word for it. I'm not saying, I'm just saying to you, what an ordeal to go through.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yes, it is, Don. And what about, we'd like to ask the doc this, Bruce Lehman was interviewed and they said, oh, you shouldn't interview a rapist or something. How badly has that man
We'll never know what actually went on there. I tried to look at body language and whatever else from the CCTV footage, but what came out for me and whether they played with it, I don't think they did, was what Lisa Wilkinson was saying to Brittany Higgins and also what Brittany Higgins' boyfriend, I think it was, he was also having his two bobs worth, and Brittany Higgins didn't say much at all. So
what is
I just wonder about the whole situation.
What's Lisa William Wilkinson's husband's called? What's his name?
Peter Fitzsimmons.
Peter Fitzsimmons. God, there's some dumbasses.
Well, no, hang on. They're not dumbasses.
And people like Mike Carlton. They're absolutely Mike low Carlton. IQ clowns.
No, hang on. Mike Carlton's not in the media anymore.
He weighs in on all this stuff. He's a dilf.
What? On Facebook? What do you call it? Facebook or something?
Oh, the alerts come up and you think, why would they bother? They're just...
Well, why don't you take him off your
I can't.
Why?
Oh, because the alerts come up on your phone. Him and I'll tell you another man. What about Rowan? What's his name? Rowan
Conley.
Yes.
What about him?
God, he must sit at home all day. You've got to have something else going on in your life. Tweets. You can't get it off. It just comes up, and you think, "Holy!"
Why are you on social media?
I'll tell you why, Don. Because while you sit on your ass driving up here in heavy traffic, the only way we advertise this is putting this little segment on social media.
Oh.
When we stand up in front of the sign there and say, yes, today on You Cannot Be Serious, you know, and you say, oh, go now. And I say, no, don't interrupt. Don. Oh, let's take two. That's the only reason I do this, Don.
Shout out to Peter Jones. You've forgotten Peter Jones.
Percy, that great surf. He's down there.
Where? Is he surfing still?
Torquay. He's an iceberger.
Hang on. He's surfing as well as swimming.
He doesn't swim. He surfs. He takes the board out.
No,
there.
An iceberger is somebody who goes out swimming in the cold water.
Oh, well, he goes out surfing on a board in the cold weather. He's an
short
iceberger.
Short board or a long board?
A long.
It'd have to be bloody big. He's enormous
he's
now.
He's a big man. He's a big man.
How does he get up?
What?
Because I saw him get out of his car. He had troubles. You got a crane on the board?
But in water, you float, you're buoyant.
Yeah, but he's got to get up onto the board.
You ever seen an elephant float in water?
Well,
they can float, but out on land, they're cumbersome.
You'd have a special board, I reckon, real big plank.
Percy, he's like an elephant.
I know he is.
He's cumbersome on land, but in water, he's buoyant and very agile.
But an elephant doesn't swim.
What? Of course an elephant swims.
He'd like a whale. It'd be better a whale. Whale would be...
Don,
or
an
a seal.
An elephant swims. It's got an inbuilt snorkel.
It
walks on the ground and just puts a snorkel up, does it?
Have you seen the hippo swim?
What's that, Sue?
A hippo.
So you reckon Jones, Peter, looks like a hippo? He does.
No, he's quite well built. Remember, used to play against him. Yeah. Remember when he ran into who did you run into? Mark? No, who did you run into? I know that was Mark McClure ran into someone, didn't he?
But Percy kicked the goalpost. Do you remember that?
I do.
Down at St Kilda. How could you do that?
Now the doc's going to ring in. I reckon the doc's going to ring in. Sue,
hey, listen.
Ready.
Could I ask you a serious question?
What have I done? Have I got everything linked up here for when he rings in? Have I got everything linked up?
I think you should be waiting for Phoebe.
Hang on. Have I got everything?
Is she still on the West Gate?
Oh, we don't know. She only comes in when Ben's on. She said she was coming in today. She likes the sound of it.
Tell me, if the doc rings in, are we ready to go?
Do you think
here?
Phoebe would have blood on her hands?
Well, we're the same as Jeff, so hopefully that goes through too.
Righto, Sue. Well, I'll take that on advisement. I tell you what is the greatest farce sporting event. I love it because once it starts, it's the most boring sporting event you can do, and that's Formula One, the Formula One cars.
I thought you were into racing.
I just said to you, I am into it, hoping one day someone will race someone. The person in the Red Bull car, Mr. Verstappen, gets on pole, and that's the end of the race. And the rest of it is all just about all the dribblers at the back. Could they make it so that?
But hasn't that been? I only followed it when Brabham was racing. Brabham, Cooper Climax
in the 50s, Don.
But they dominated for 2 years or something. Then they have somebody else comes along with a new machine. Isn't that what's happening now?
Absolutely.
But it's been going on for years.
Well, at least it was a bit more exciting. At least the noise made it exciting.
Well, they scream now. What's the difference?
No, they don't hardly make a noise.
Really?
Yeah, they have little microphones in them to make it sound as though they got noise. So, if you got the doc is going to ring in, I think we've got to be ready with the headphones in case he rings in. Where are my headphones, Sue? Please.
There.
There they are. Thank you. So be ready for the doc. I don't know where Phoebe is. I don't know where. Here he is!
Oh, Jesus.
He's on time, isn't he?
Oh, gee. He doc, gets off on this. He gets off on
Sue. Sue, what's happened? Sue.
Go on. Podcast a bit.
Press it. Hello?
I did.
Sue.
Oh, doc.
Sue.
Doc.
Hey.
This is Sue Stanley.
Hey, Sue.
A-O-M or O-A-M.
Oh, I know all about Sue. I do listen to the podcast. How are you, Sue?
This is my pleasure. This is my first date with you.
Well, wait till Phoebe finds out.
I know.
I know. She's in love with your voice.
Oh, well, that's just lovely.
She gets
love
off
with yours,
on your
Don.
Voice.
Doc, we've missed you. People shout clamber. They shout out, where is the doc?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I understand that one day you're going to say to us, hey, boys, I can't do this for a whole lot of different reasons, but while you're doing it, we're very appreciative, Doc.
Well, I should just explain why it can be a little bit complicated, because it's 9:30 a.m. when we record this award-winning podcast. I get off air on my 2GB radio show at 9 a.m., and then there's all sorts of other stuff
debrief.
That happens to do with... Yeah, there's a bit of a debrief. There's a look ahead to the following day. There's discussions about how we're handling this and following up on that. And, you know, on any given morning, there's all sorts of crazy things that pop up out of nowhere. And, for example, this morning I've just been sent some body cam vision involving a controversial incident to do with police. And I thought, all right, I'll have a look at that. And I thought, oh, no, it goes for about an hour. So, anyway, there's plenty going on, but whenever I can, I always squeeze in a chat with you great people.
It's fantastic. You can make it a 10. You don't have to come on at 9:30 if it's more suitable to come on later or whatever.
Oh, I don't want to go. Don's on a very strict kind of schedule, you know what I mean? I mean, as part of the system that I put in place around his welfare and his mental health, we like to keep him on track. And, you know, as with a lot of those people who have got kind of OCD and ADD and ADHD, if you muck around with their schedule too much, they can just go completely loopy. So I just like to keep him on track.
You're spot on, Doc, because we just interviewed Jeff Kennett about the Hawthorne racist saga, and Don actually physically shouted at him through the microphone here, so much so that I had to mute him at some stage, and Jeff could hear him through my microphone, and I'm 2 metres away from him.
Well, does anyone do a good Jeff Kennett impersonation there? Oh, is anyone?
Yeah, no, right. I said, I rang up Jeff. I said, Jeff, could you have a chat to us about the Hawthorn Saga? Yes, I could. Now, look, I'll tell you what, I've been pretty annoyed at the AFL. I spoke to Gil McLaughlin. I said, what did you speak to? I can't tell you about private conversations, but I did take him to task. So so we've spoken to him. And in fact, I don't. People might think that we didn't speak to him. I might have done the whole interview, spoken, asked the questions and answered them myself.
Oh, well, you know, when you're as talented as you are, Sam, you can do the whole thing, ask the questions, answer the questions.
Now, Dr. Ben, MD, Managing Don, I want to. There's four things that you might like to comment on.
Sure.
One is Mr. Ben Roberts-Smith. The other one is Mr. the woman, the lass who was accused of killing her four kids. The other one was I've got them here. Bruce Lehman interview. Someone said, "Oh, you shouldn't be interviewing him." And the other one was Pricewaterhouse, Luke Sayers, who's part of.
Yeah, well, why don't we kick off with Bruce Lehman, who gave his big tell-all interview to Spotlight on Channel 7 on Sunday night. I thought it was fascinating. I mean, Mark Llewellyn is a bloke I know. He's the executive producer of that show, Spotlight. And he did a great job with it because they had all the CCTV, they had recordings, all of the behind-the-scenes things that the project was talking about.
Could I ask you, being in that field, how did they get all that audio?
Sure.
And they get all the film? Because even that Lisa Wilkinson audio was damning.
Yeah, good question, Don. The way they got access to that would have all been provided through what they call the discovery process. So when a court case is happening, all of the evidence is provided to the parties involved in the case. So to hazard a guess, I would suggest that Bruce Lehrman's lawyers would have passed all of that along to Channel 7. And yes, it was damaging for the project, damaging for Lisa Wilkinson, damaging for Brittany Higgins, and therefore there's a strong likelihood that the information and all of the evidence would have been passed along by Bruce Lehrman's legal team. And you might have noted in the ads for the big interview, they didn't show any of that stuff, right? They just showed Bruce Lehrman standing outside Parliament House, and then they had an interview scene where Liam Bartlett was asking him the questions and they didn't show his answers.
Cherry-picked.
But what they did, they were pretty smart, because if they had have shown in the promos that they had the CCTV or the secret recordings, then there's a chance that they would have faced an injunction, and then someone might have said, no, you're not allowed to run that. So they very wisely took the Kerry Packer approach, which is seek forgiveness, not permission, and they just ran the whole thing.
Do you think it was edited in any way by the host station?
Oh, you know, it was certainly edited by whoever was putting it together for Channel 7, just like the project would have edited their interview when they put it together for Brittany Higgins. But what I find interesting about the whole thing, and I've revealed this on my radio show this morning, the $3 million compensation paid to Brittany Higgins, that was awarded after the trial was aborted. And we discovered in that trial that the detectives who are investigating from the Australian Federal Police found Brittany to be evasive and manipulative. That's not my view. That's what the AFP officers felt. So after the trial was aborted, then all of a sudden there was a rush off to mediation. Now in mediation, and I know you guys have gone through some mediation, it would normally take on a matter like this, a Commonwealth civil case, 6 weeks minimum. Well, in Brittany's case, it took one mediation meeting, and the ministers who used to be Brittany's bosses, they weren't allowed to be there. They weren't allowed to tell their side of the story. It was just one side of the story told, millions of dollars handed over, and there's a brand new anti-corruption body that is opening for business in Canberra in the next month or so. That was an election promise by Anthony Albanese, and you remember all of the teals, they all wanted that as well. Well, guess what? I've revealed on air this morning that Brittany's old boss, Linda Reynolds, if someone else doesn't refer the compensation payment to the new corruption body, Linda Reynolds will. And here's another interesting aside to this whole thing. In the CCTV, you see Brittany Higgins coming back from the bar where she'd been with Bruce, and she's wearing a white skirt or a white dress. But in the vision of her leaving at about 10 o'clock the next morning, she's wearing a black and white jacket. Well, that jacket actually belongs to her old boss, Linda Reynolds. So when she left the office, she was looking for a jacket to put on, so she grabbed Linda Reynolds' jacket, and guess what? Linda's never seen the jacket since. Linda only discovered this when looking at the CCTV, and she went, oh, there's my jacket that disappeared out of the office. So I'm not suggesting the jacket is the biggest deal in the world, but the $3 million compensation payment is certainly going to be examined. And you've got to wonder, after a trial falls over, after the man who's accused says, I'm innocent, after the police say that the key witness is evasive and manipulative, after the ministers who used to be Britney's bosses were denied their chance to tell their side of the story, and after the money was handed over without an application going before the court for the money to be handed over, and it was granted in the space of one day, if you don't think that stinks, then you've obviously lost your sense of smell. Well,
clothing, a dead giveaway. Ask Monica Lewinsky, clothing.
Yeah, look, Sam, and I want to say, and Sue and Don, I don't know what happened in the office that night, and I know that it's not just Britney who told fibs about what happened that night. Bruce Lerriman did too. He told three different versions of events about why he was back in the office. He said on one occasion he went back there for a couple of whiskies. On another occasion he said he went back there to do some work. On another occasion he said he went back to collect his keys so he could get into his apartment. But that doesn't make him a rapist. In the eyes of the law, they have determined that a trial will not proceed. So I don't know what happened inside the office, but I know that the $3 million compensation payment in that space of time is highly unusual.
Speaking about in the eyes of the law, I see Ben Robert Smith. I see the judge said that he probably murdered three Afghanis. And therefore the defamation action was not sustained. What do you make of that? That is an extraordinary thing for Ben Robert Smith to have hanging over his head.
He's gone. Ben Robert Smith has gone from a national hero to being labelled a war criminal. And the journalist who did the main heavy lifting on this, Nick McKenzie, I had him in the studio the day after that decision was handed down, and I said, is Ben Robert Smith a war hero? And he said, yes, he's a war hero and he's a war criminal. You can be both. Now, I think we all know that if we were going into battle or if our life was on the line and Ben Robert Smith was in the corner of the room, you'd say, Ben, come over here, please help me, right? I mean, he's a giant of a man and clearly tough as nails. So, yes, you'd want him to going into battle with you. I think the area where he really let himself down and exposed himself is when he, and this has been confirmed by the courts, I will just note that he may appeal. There's always a chance of an appeal. But the moment that he encouraged younger soldiers to conduct their first kill, and those kills were on people who were not armed combatants, I think you'll find that that's when he lost some respect within the SAS, and when people started thinking, all right, well, it's not just him doing his own dirty work, he was encouraging others to do it. And when you're kicking an old bloke off a cliff, that's not considered to be part of war. You know, I mean,
Ben,
I don't want to have a go.
There's a lot of things happen in war, mate, and
I know,
become very animalistic. What happened to Bin Laden? Where did he finish up?
Well, I know. In the heat of battle, all sorts of crazy things happen, but the problem for Ben Robert Smith is some of these allegations didn't result from a battle. It wasn't a battle scenario. And then, of course, he was burning evidence. He was burning laptops and other evidence in his backyard. He was getting private eyes to spy on people who were giving evidence against him. He was offering some financial rewards or incentives to witnesses who gave evidence who were backing in his side of the story. So, Don, let me say again what I said at the start. If I was sitting in a pub somewhere and a mad gunman ran into the room with a machine gun and Ben Robert Smith was in the corner, I'd be hiding behind Ben Robert Smith.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe this, Doc. Just see if you can tell whose dulcet tones these are. just have a listen to this. You've got groupies in here today, Doc.
Ben, hello.
Oh, I know who that is. It's Beyonce.
Oh.
Beyonce.
No, she's got blood on her
hands.
Ben, she's got blood on her hands. She does a segment with DD Dunleavy, 3AW, and poor DD has just been shown the door.
I
I think Fiona's got blood on her hands. She's got ambitions.
When are you taking over? When are you taking over from Dee Dee?
Clearly, I'm not. But I'm really sad that Dee Dee and 3AW have parted ways earlier this week.
Yeah, why have they?
She was informed on Friday evening that 3AW won't be.
But a program was raging.
This is a discussion we'll have. No, we'll just finish with the doc.
Yes.
Hang on. I just want to hear this because I'm not across all of the details.
She was informed that they wouldn't be extending her contract next year, and that the show is going in a different direction, and so the.
Your direction?
No, don't be silly. No, no.
You're ambitious.
She's a really good friend of mine, and I've been part of DD's show for 3.5 years, so I'm very sad. She's a very good friend. She's a terrific mentor. She's someone who is an excellent, excellent radio presenter and performer. But the other thing about DD is she's a great supporter of other women in media, and I just think it's really sad.
But her show was rating well too, though.
She's number one afternoons in Melbourne.
Can I just jump in and just tell you a quick one? I was interviewed by Dee Dee Dunleavy once. She was doing a series about different people who work in the media and in other industries. And she said, can I do an interview with you about you and about your life and your career? And I said, sure. And I've done a few of them over time. But I said to her afterwards, I wrote to her and said, that was the best interview that I've ever been part of that was about me and about my life. So her ability to interview, there's no doubt about that, and she's a really, really sweet person, and I'll reach out to her today to send my best to her, because I don't know the full circumstances, but you get that, don't you, in a professional situation. Sometimes your contract is renewed, sometimes it's not.
Now, Doc, could I just ask you this before you... just back to Ben Robert-Smith. Kerry Stokes, as I understand it, obviously has bankrolled the defence and Ben Robert-Smith through the whole saga, hasn't he? Why would he have...
He has.
Why?
Well...
He's a smart enough man to think...
Yeah, he is a very passionate military historian, an unofficial historian. He's invested a lot in military memorabilia and things like that. He's a huge fan of Ben Robert-Smith. He gave Ben Robert Smith a job as the boss of Channel 7 in Queensland. So he was a senior executive in Queensland for Channel 7 BRS, even though he had no experience in TV. So he's now quit that job after the defamation loss last week. And I think Kerry Stokes is now reading through the full judgment before deciding whether he wants to fund an appeal. I don't think there'll be an appeal. I think Ben Robert Smith will probably walk away from this. But you've got to remember as well, this legal action was instigated by Ben Robert Smith. He felt that he was defamed by the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age and the Canberra Times. So he instigated the defamation proceedings, and then all of this evidence came out during those defamation proceedings. Now, in hindsight, he would have been better off just calling a news conference and saying, look, you can write whatever you want to write me about me in your newspaper. I don't work in a newsroom. I work in a battlefield. I made difficult decisions when I was in that battlefield, and I stand by my decisions every day of the week. If he had said that, chances are he wouldn't be in the predicament that he's in today.
So, Doc, you've made four people. Two of them have got XY chromosomes, and two of them have got two X chromosomes. The four of us are here, and you've made everyone very happy by jumping on the line and speaking to us today, Doc.
Well, can I confess something? I'm not in a great mood today.
Oh.
I've had a few things that have unfolded on the radio show this morning.
Oh.
You know, when things just don't go the way they're supposed to go, things haven't worked out as they were planned, and I just wasn't in a great mood. But all of a sudden,
I
feel a bit better now talking to you guys. So, you know, I may assist Don with his numerous issues, but I think you four have assisted me.
What went wrong today on the show?
Oh, mate, it just happens. It doesn't happen every day. I mean, in a live radio show that's going for 3.5 hours, and there's legal issues and there's other complications, occasionally things go wrong. And so there were just a few of them that went wrong this morning, and I kind of walked away thinking, all right, well, that didn't go as well as I was hoping this morning.
Oh.
No major freak out or blow up or any problems like that, but I reckon 15 to 20% better than I did when I started this conversation.
And when
when
you get home to the betrothed, things will even take a turn for the better more. So,
well, you know what? When I get home and I see Jodie,
don't say it.
I honestly think to myself, How lucky am I? I mean, so many people don't have what I've got. And, you know, she's lucky because she gets three for the price of one. She gets me, she gets Sam, and she gets Don talking about her regularly on the podcast that she can't quite work out. She's the luckiest woman on planet Earth.
Sorry about that, Doc. I'm sure she is. Well, hey, it's very nice to hear from you. And as I say, there's a couple of Sheilas here. They've got two X chromosomes, and in a swoon.
Sue, it's great talking to you, and you always, Phoebe, as well. And may God guide you through this day and this week. And I look forward to catching up with everyone soon.
I'm glad we put a smile on your dial.
Love you all.
Good on you, Doc. Thanks a lot, mate.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
I'm sure he's off now. Does that make him off? As I say, it doesn't matter if they listen in, but we don't want to bore them. Don and Phoebe.
Hi, Sam.
So there must be more to a young... what's her name? Oh, sorry.
Dee Dee.
Oh, sorry. Gee, I had a mental... It must be more to that.
She's a friend of yours. We need to declare that.
Absolutely.
You've been on her show a number of times as well.
I don't know her very well. She's a love... there must be more to that. Or not.
No, I think it is. Look, in her words, and she's put this on social media, so I'm not saying anything that isn't in the public realm at the moment, that she was blindsided and devastated by the news.
No, but it's Don said, if it's a high, you said high rating, and they gets on well with...
Sam, you've been in this position.
Yes.
Sometimes a decision's made for a show to go in a different direction.
I would say things that wouldn't be palatable to a lot of people. She wouldn't ever do that.
She's a complete professional, and her show was.
Would somebody else pick her up? Is there another station like 3AW, for example?
No, she would.
She would be an asset to any station.
So where could she go?
The ABC.
Oh, they're suffering, aren't they? I read in the paper today their ratings are down, Fiona.
She'd be an excellent asset to any station.
I should have asked Ben, bugger me, why doesn't the ABC represent its community better than it does?
Because they're left-wing communists.
Well, why don't they have right-wing? That's a true representation of...
I know, because they're got at by the activists. Phoebe, can we just nip this in the bud?
Go on.
What?
What?
You're not sneaking in behind Dee Dee.
Oh, no.
Well, what happens if they offered you the gig?
Don't be ridiculous. They wouldn't.
She's been working hard.
Hypothetically.
Well, no.
If they offered you the gig, would you say, well, I'm going to just, I could
no,
do this,
but
no,
I'd
like
because,
to clear it with Dee Dee.
No. The answer is I'm a newspaper journalist.
This is what you do to us.
I'm giving you the answer.
There's a mission.
I'm giving you the answer.
You started on Carol's by candlelight.
I'm a newspaper journalist.
Shut up, Don.
For God's sake, Don, shut up.
This is what you do to us. Whoa. When you ring up after a thing, you badger people and you say, oh, did you do this? Now you're on the record now. And so I'm asking you.
I'm very clear with you. Every time I interview, I'm like, we're on the record at this point, Sam. I do it to everyone. It's like, at this point, we're on the record.
Journalists criticized. Shit themselves when they're put under the pressure. Don't every journalist shits himself.
No, would you be quiet?
Yes, would you be quiet? I'll turn you off in a minute.
Yes, just mute him, please.
Hypothetically, if they said, Phoebe, could you come in and step in?
Okay, it's not even a matter of being a hypothetical question because I am not a radio professional.
You've got a good voice for radio.
Shut up. My skill set is newspapers. That's what I've been trained in. I haven't been trained in radio.
You're good.
It's true.
I've turned you off while she answers it.
Thank God. Can we do this more often?
Go ahead.
Just shut him down.
Go on.
So it's, as I said, it's not a hypothetical. I'm not a radio professional. It would never be a role that's offered to me. It would never be a job that I would be considered
for. Microphone technique's very good, Phoebe.
Oh, it's terrific. Neil Mitchell started as a...
So it is simply not a question to put to me. But I stand by the fact that she is a really good friend of mine. She's an excellent broadcaster and I've been very fortunate to be part of her show for 3.5 years and I'm very grateful for that.
Have they announced or do you know who's taking it?
No.
Well, there must be someone in the pipeline.
Well, I think she has stepped up. When she's clearly stepped away earlier.
It was immediate, wasn't it?
Yes. She said that, look, if that's the case, I won't do the rest of the next few months. So, you know, it just clears the deck.
So that's it. Out straight away.
So
you're finished. You've got the brace and bits. You would just withdraw immediately and they'd pay you out. Of course they would.
But she... So it's... So at the moment, Elise Elliott's
taken a spot, yeah.
Yes, and so Elise is doing the show for the next 3 months... 3 weeks.
3 weeks,
yes.
Elise Elliott is Tom Elliott's wife.
Isn't Tom Elliott on 3AW as well?
Yes, and Elise is Elise regularly stands in for DD.
Do you think it's a family thing that he does the afternoon and she leads in?
Radio Elliott.
Right. Can you mute him again? Where's that mute button?
Don, shut the fuck up.
We're going to permanently turn you off, Don.
Phoebe, is she still doing the car show with Dermot?
Elise, yes.
Oh, God, she's gone. She's big.
Elise is really busy. Oh, she's got a lot of different irons in the fire.
I think she's too busy. I think she's too busy.
Don, I've just suddenly realised I can mute you. If you keep interrupting... Thank you,
Sam.
That's extraordinary that Tom... I'd never thought of that. That's a fan... Radio Elliott.
So Dee Dee, when she would go on her survey break, Elise would regularly sit in for her and cover that shift.
Wow.
But,
you could fix her up.
Oh, Don, can you shut him down?
I'm turning you off officially, Don, for a minute.
Goodbye,
Don. See if you can talk. You can talk, no one can hear you. Go on. Go on, Phoebe.
No, I don't have anything else to say.
Well, so do you think... I'm not trying to be mischievous, but do you think...
You are.
I'm not. Do you think they thought, well, we've got Tom on here and we've got Elise and maybe we can give him a joint package?
Two for one.
So, the voice of reason, a two-for-one thing. We can just trim the salaries an overall package.
Buy one, get one free.
No, the answer is no. Sam, okay, let's just
turn
this on to
you. What about Sue over here, the little midget? She used to be on.
The little midget.
Well, she's only 45 kilos.
Well, that doesn't make her a midget.
Who's smaller?
I tell you, a midget, there's a clinical...
Dwarf.
A dwarf is a clinical definition for a dwarf.
She's a 3AW person.
If you're under 5 feet in height, you're clinically a dwarf.
I'm 5 foot and 3/4 of an inch.
So she's not a dwarf.
But you're 45 kilos.
That's all right. She's in good nick. Joseph's good nick.
Let's change the subject. Sam, you've had a bit of experience about ending your relationship with radio stations. Did you have any dramatic... partings?
No, Ernie Sigley sacked me 3 times.
Really?
You're all 3AW. There's 3 of you here.
Twice on the television.
On the TV.
I used to come in and do sports reports, and if ever...
Oh, this is the morning show, was it? Yes.
If ever you looked as though you had more knowledge or intelligence than Ernie, he would cut you. So I used to come in and do the sports on 3AW with Ernie. And he said one day that, one of the great basketballers, Magic Johnson or something, was on $100 million a year. I said, Ernie, he's not on $100 million a year playing. He would get a certain amount to play, like in those days, $6 million. The rest would be endorsements. He said, nope, he's got a salary. So he sacked me after I disagreed with him. And I thought it was a badge of honour to be sacked by Ernie. Most people I know have been sacked.
How long were you up there for?
No, he sacked me. That was it.
Well, but you said you've been sacked 3 times from 3AW.
Yeah, no, from Bernie. Ernie sacked me
twice from
Ernie's
on
TV the television and once on 3AW. No, I wasn't sacked from 3AW, was I?
You're telling me.
No, you said I've been sacked. I can say my contractual arrangement at Channel 9 on the footy show ended, but it doesn't matter how you top and tail it, you eventually get sacked. It doesn't matter how you like to phrase it. Some people say, oh, no, I did. I didn't. So you get sacked. If you're not renewed, you're sacked, aren't you?
In newspaper parlance, yes.
Yeah, of course you are.
Yes.
And that's the way it is, Don. We said when we first started in 1994, we're only filling in time till we get sacked. And eventually I was right.
And Sam, I want to hear your radio stories one day. I think we need to get Greg Evans or Darren James or someone like that in to start telling some radio stories.
Because we were not let down. A man we were going to interview last week couldn't come in. So Jack, my son, said, "Why don't you get Don and you ask each other 10 questions off the top of your head?" Did you hear that?
No, you wouldn't have heard that.
We had fantastic response to it because Don started off by saying his first question was, "Oh, what was your best football game?" And I said, "Gee, Don," and that was, I told him a game, and he said, "No, it wasn't." I said, "Oh, you're telling me." And then I said, "Did you have a good childhood?" And his eyes went round like Catherine wheels. He said, "Shit, I didn't know it was going to be like this." And he was fantastic, Don. He told us about his childhood and his father, and then he told us about why he was so grumpy and how he'd moderated his life. And it was a great insight into the man here, and he was honest, and he kept asking me about sport and what did I like playing and what was my handicap at golf, and I'm asking him about his personal life. And it went from, and he thought, "Shit, this is not going how I thought it'd go." And in the end, he finally said, "Oh, well, how did you meet your first wife?" And I said, "I can't speak about that, Don, only in deference to her." And he said, "Oh, well, shit." And that was the end of it.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
And ask him, you might notice he's got his hand.
Yes, what's happened to you, Don? You're injured.
Listen to the podcast.
No. Ask Phoebe, she's here.
Well, I've already told her.
We'll turn you back on if you tell us the story.
No, you're on, Don. Go on. Tell Phoebe how you...
I've got a broken scaphoid from my football days.
What horse did you fall off?
No. Ask him how he got a broken
scaphoid. How did you get a broken scaphoid?
He punched someone when they weren't
looking. Did he hit somebody?
No. Did he hit you?
No, Ted Potter.
Do you ever speak to Ted?
No, I never saw him after that.
So how many years ago was this injury sustained?
60. Over 50 years ago, a long time ago.
And it's only now giving you drama?
No, it's giving me drama all through.
So how come you're all trussed up today?
Because it's fucking sore.
I don't swear, Don. We've got guests who arrived. Now, look, Phoebe,
we've been going for an hour.
Yeah. We're going to stop this.
I'm heading upstairs.
Why?
We're coming back.
Hey, Phoebe, Don. Check these two out. Are you still listening to Ben through the earphones?
Oh, no. Is he on?
No, you've got your ear headphones on still.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Sue. All right. Well, that's it. So we're going to wind this up now. And Don, what am I doing? Have I got to press that, don't I? Is that it?
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you...